Whoop, whoop.
Well, LZ, that is whoop, the whoop. Last whoop, whoop whoop that the two of us at least are going to have, at least in the mornings and at least for the time being, getting ready whoop. To go on vacation for a week. We're going to have another show next yes. week. At least I'll be here with my pal, DeMarco Farr. But you ready for the home stretch, my friend?
Last hour of the morning show. This is so crazy. I mean, when this first started, and first of all, shout out to Raj for, you know, believing in me and presenting me with this opportunity. When we first started, oh yeah, here comes the story time music. Excellent, Jorge, excellent. When we first started, everyone thought that Keyshawn was going to be the one that struggled. You know, I remember they were like, oh, you know, you're not going to last, blah, blah, blah. It was actually me. Real talk. That alarm clock would go off. I'd be like going, what the hell? Whose idea was this? And then I start calling my agent, yo, dog, you think we can, you know, get a redo? This is early, man. But as I said this before on Tuesday, I'm going to say it again. It quickly went from getting up early to go to work to getting up early to hang with my friends. And once that shift happened, it was just gravy. I forgot, Travis, we've already worked together for years. It just flew by.
It did go pretty fast.
It went pretty fast. So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to chat and hang out with, obviously, the guys and gals in the studios, but just all the listeners. And the good thing is, I'm not really going anywhere. I'm just going to be hanging with my boy Sedano over in the afternoon drive. You're still stuck in traffic. You still get to listen to me. And if you're really good, listeners, if you're really, really good, I just might bring Mysterio with me after all.
No promises.
No promises. And you're not safe either, Travis. I might just call in the morning show and just bring in Mysterio just for the hell of it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make sure that nobody answers the phone if that's what's waiting on the other end. No, you know, it's funny. You just mentioned, and obviously we get to hang out with each other over these last, you know, several years. And it's just such a weird way to kind of have the thing changed because of we're all in our own homes and everything else. And we'll continue that conversation in just 1 minute. I want to continue our conversation about the Lakers and what's going wrong with them. They can't make a shot to save their lives right now. Ramona Shelburne joining us right now. Ramona, how you feeling?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I'm feeling terrible. No, I'm not feeling fantastic.
I am.
What the hell?
I feel great.
They can't hit a three. Ramona. Talk to me, Momo.
2-19. What's going on?
Dude, they've been off for like 4 months. It's fine. It's like, I think it's, you know, look, the Lakers haven't looked great. The Clippers haven't looked great. The Bucks haven't looked great. The only thing that's really looked great, I think, has been the Raptors. And they had a weak head start on everybody, right? They got to Florida a week early. I mean, to me, this is like the Lakers are getting their sea legs back. They're kind of figuring things out again. They haven't really had to push it because they already have the one seed. So I think they're just going to kind of rest mostly. They're going to make sure everybody's healthy. And I think, yeah, the shots are not falling. We don't see anything consistent from a third scorer, right? There's nobody consistently stepping in and saying, I can take the load off Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But, like, I think this was all to be expected. Like, that's why the players really wanted these eight seeding games.
You don't think that Kyle Kuzma's performance in the bubble has maybe answered that question a little bit as far as third scoring? Because he's been the one good bright spot since we started replay.
Yeah, he has been. But, you know, 10 points the other night, right? Like, Anthony Davis has been really, really good in the wins, not so good in the losses. Like, all of this stuff to me is just a function of you're working in some new rotation players. You're working in some guy, like, you don't have Avery Bradley out there like you had. Like, you're doing things a little different. But when they've played, they look to me like a team that has been off for 4 months and is just trying to, like, find a new rhythm. And it, like, takes a little while to find that with new players. But, like, yeah, Kyle's looked good. Like, he has always probably been the third best, you know, the third best player. He's just been a little more consistent with it now. But, like, I don't know. My level of concern is not all that high. The only reason it would be high is just that whoever ends up as that number eight seed will have definitely earned it. And it looks like, you know, it looks like it's going to be, this is what I've said all along, but seeing the way Portland looks right now, I don't like that first round matchup. That's the only reason my level of concern is high, not because the way the Lakers look after 4 months off and trying to work in Dion and JR and all this stuff.
Ramona, do you have any insight into what Joe Vardon from The Athletic was talking about when LeBron said that there was an off the court issue going on that he can't control and he doesn't want to talk about? What, any guess?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it was something I took note of. I was like, I wonder what that is. Like, I don't have the answer for you guys. Like, I sent a text or two about it, and people are pretty tight-lipped, obviously. But it was notable because LeBron doesn't just say things like that, right? He doesn't just, you know, just slip one of those mysterious quotes in there for no reason. Like, obviously, there's something going on. I mean, I don't know if it's something just in the bubble about, you know, what life is like there. They miss their families, or if it's just, you know, they don't like the way some of the new guys are fitting in. Maybe they don't like the way some of the old guys are fitting in. One thing I think they are, I mean, this is an on-the-court thing, which I think we may see some changes made, and that you're going to see that, obviously, because LeBron's going to rest, right? But they've been getting off to horrible starts, not just, like, at the beginning of games, but coming out of halftime, too. So I wouldn't be shocked to see the starting lineup change, to see somebody do something a little bit different, you know, because, you know, they're falling behind and having to play catch up a lot more than good teams usually do. But as far as what he's talking about off the court, no, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting thing to slip in there and, like, you know, just put out there for public consumption, because usually LeBron keeps that stuff in house unless he sort of wants you to know and wants you to dig a little bit.
Well, listen, whether it's something happening on the court, off the court, you know, during the game, after the game, no one is going to give him a pass if they don't win a championship. Right. So my question to you is that fair?
That's a good question, LZ. I don't know. You know, I keep thinking about something that I guess it was, I'm going to put words in Kobe's mouth, okay? But it was something Kobe said in his interview that he gave during The Last Dance, okay? So they were interviewing Kobe, and they asked him what Michael's advice to him was. And Michael basically said, like, you know, no matter what, if you don't win a championship, they're not going to say it's because your fourth best player had an off night or didn't hit that shot, or you had some weird chemistry issue that didn't get addressed and that's what kind of derailed your season. They're going to say you didn't win. You, Kobe Bryant, didn't win. You, Michael Jordan, didn't win. And I think it's the same for LeBron James. Like, he's in that category of player where it doesn't really matter what else was going on with the team. It doesn't matter that there's a pandemic. It doesn't matter that they're in a bubble, that they don't have home court advantage. It doesn't matter that Avery Bradley opted out. Like, come hell or high water, he's got to figure out a way to fix it. Because if the Lakers don't win, people are going to say LeBron James didn't get his ring. LeBron James didn't figure it out. And I think that is just the burden of true greatness in this league. I think it's been that way for LeBron for a long time. Like, I mean, there were a couple years I've covered the finals where he's been with the Cavs. And, like, especially that last year when he was in Cleveland and the infamous J.R. Smith game. I mean, LeBron was amazing. LeBron was willing himself to playoff victories. They had no business winning with a team that had no business being in the finals. But you know what we said after he lost? LeBron James lost again in the finals.
Right.
I just think that's the way it is.
Ramona, go back to a minute ago, talking about getting ready for that number 8 seed. If it is Portland, is it just going to be a different 1-8 matchup in the sense that Portland is better than your normal 8 seed, or is this a real problem? Is this like almost like a Western Conference final matchup potentially where it could go either way?
I mean, okay, so I had I had some time to talk about the Blazers. I did a story on Yusuf Nurkic coming back into the bubble, right? And, you know, kind of gave me a different perspective on the Blazers than I had had before, because I always saw them as, you know, Damian Lillard's team. And CJ McCollum's nice. Nurkic is a nice young player. He's only 25. You forget he's 25. Like, that's how young he is. But Neil Olshey, their GM, president of basketball operations, or whatever his title is, he said to me, he goes, you know, we have looked at the small ball trend in the NBA the last few years of, you know, playing those small ball lineups. Like, Houston was doing it. Golden State was doing it. And the Blazers decide, look, we got two great guards, but we already know that they're not going to beat the Warriors in a seven-game series. We already know that. We've seen that movie before. They lost. And they didn't even have Steph Curry in that series. They lost. So we got to do something different. So they went with 3 7-footers on the court. And last year, those 3 7-footers were Nurkic, Zach Collins, and Enes Kanter. This year, they have missed Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins all year. They've been hurt. But they had Hassan Whiteside, and they had signed Pau Gasol at one point for that reason, trying to get him to play like that. And now they have Collins and Nurkic back. So they play Whiteside, Nurkic, and Collins as this, like, we're going to put 3 7-footers on the court along with our two great guards. And we're going to just put you in some weird matchups. Like, we're going to put you in some weird, you know, situations. Like, how are you going to guard these 3 7-footers? How are you going to guard them, you know, straight up? Now, I think against the Lakers, they probably can't play all three at the same time. Probably going to need to play Gary Trent Jr. a little bit just to have some kind of perimeter guy out there, because, you know, while I think they could, you know, one of, like, either Nurkic or probably Collins would guard Anthony Davis. Like, somebody's going to have to guard LeBron James, and it's definitely not going to be Dame Lillard or CJ McCollum. So they need to have somebody on the court, some kind of perimeter player who can guard him, probably Gary Trent Jr., but man, that is a tough matchup, Travis. Like that is to put those centers out there, and put, you know, all those matchup issues that's going to create. I think that's why people think it's such a tough 8 seed. It's like a strange matchup. Then you have one of the all-time great playoff performers out there in Dame Lillard. And I look at the Lakers defense, and like that's a hole. Alex Caruso is a nice defender. But I don't care who you defend Dame Lillard with, like, he's going to break your heart sometimes. So, you know, even though I think Portland's a tougher matchup just because of how good they are at home in that Rose Garden, like, it's more about the matchup and who they have coming back, because they shouldn't be an 8 seed. They, you know, if those guys were healthy all year, they wouldn't be an 8 seed.
No, I agree 100% with you, and they are scary. Though for some reason, I'm not discounting the Phoenix Suns. Like, I think that this is real for some reason. That DeAndre Ayton is hitting 3-pointers for real. That Devin Booker is for real. Am I stupid? I mean, I am stupid. But am I being stupid about this?
Be careful what you ask.
No, yeah, you know, it's a small sample size, right? And generally speaking, young legs are going to do good, are going to do well. Let me fix my grammar. Young legs, you're going to do well when, you know, you just come out and say, let's hoop. Okay, like, you've had 4 months off. They don't really necessarily play the same kind of system. Like, they have all kinds of different rotations out there and players out there. But Devin Booker's always been really good, right? He's just been waiting for a team around him to be good. They've had 4 months off. They're young. They're athletic. Like, same thing with the Spurs. They're you know, everybody, all their old guys are out. They're sort of hurt and getting surgeries and stuff. And so they're just playing young kids right now. So it doesn't really surprise me that with a small sample size after an extremely long layoff, that the young teams have looked good like this. But listen, if you're the Lakers and you're in that 1 seed, you better, if you have a choice between playing Portland and playing the Suns,
go Suns.
Sign me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can avoid the Portland Trailblazers, yes, please.
Yeah, that's an easy call. That is an easy call. Ramona Shelburne joining us here on The Morning Show. Thanks, Ramona. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, so you guys are all wistful. You're nostalgic. Are you, like, sad? This is the last time you're getting up early? That's what was going on?
Momo, I made myself – first of all, I'm wearing my unicorn onesie, so you know it's a special occasion.
Yeah.
And I decided to eat steak and eggs for breakfast. So I've decided I'm celebrating this. It's fantastic. Thank you so much for always coming on from the very beginning and joining us on The Morning Show. It is a little sad that we're going to be broken up, but we aren't being torn apart. We're broken apart. We still communicate damn near every day with Key and everyone. Yeah. And so you'll still see elements of that throughout all the shows. We're going to be peppered around. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you got me and Sedano back together. Yeah. Who wouldn't want hot sauce and picante together?
Well, you know, look, I find that change. I don't do well with change either. I'm like a person who likes my not ruts, but I like to know how things are, and I get attached to them. I'm very nostalgic, very like I get wistful, I get sentimental. But especially in this business, you know that things change all the time, you know?
Yep.
And the way that you roll with those punches is what determines whether you have a nice long career or, you know, you're finding a new career soon. So I think both of you guys, both all of us can take a punch pretty well because we've been around for a while. We've been doing good things. And like sometimes change is good because it gets you out of your rut. It forces you to like grow and evolve in ways that you didn't even know you should. So, you know, I try to look at that as a good thing because it just, you know, you learn more of what works and what doesn't, but it also is like, it just, you know, it's good to like be forced to grow and change whether you think you needed it or not. I think it's a good thing because it means you're still here.
I'm going to play that on a loop every single morning, Ramona. that is my new mantra coming in. So that is very well said, and we'll end it right there. Thanks, Ramona. Talk to you.
Thanks, boys.
All right, LZ, do you feel better after hearing her just say, you know what, it's been 4 months? We'll get into that next. Plus, this is how you take care of your wine. That's all coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So I can't speak for you, but I do feel a little better having her confirm what I thought this might be, which is just when you stop doing something for 4 months, I don't care how much you're doing it on the side, it's not the same as doing it at full speed against an opponent. And that's why the Lakers look the way they do, as opposed to some global problem.
Well, first of all, Travis, I think I have been patient enough. I think that
What are you talking about?
I think that I've done a really good job of just sitting back in the cut and waiting to see if you were going to acknowledge my victory in the final snake draft or not.
And no, I've waited three damn hours for you.
I've waited 3 damn hours for you, Travis. And here we are in the last half hour show of The Morning Show as we know it. And you still won't give me my props without being prodded. That's right, Jorge. Turn it up, baby. Turn it up.
Woo! I mean,
I'm sure.
Play it one last time.
I mean, I was a little worried about you having to go to your new show on a 3-game skid. I just know how important these are to you. I know that this was something that means a lot to you, as evidenced by your repeated referencing to the snack off, the snack.
It was rigged.
Drop the
bomb. I was hoodwinked.
So yeah,
I was hoodwinked.
Good job, LZ. I've never been more convinced that the voting is fraudulent than seeing the results of this one. Because I'm not saying that you might not have had a better list. I will concede that, but it wasn't 2-1. That's just not true. So, that's just not possible.
I just need you to help me out.
Okay.
Were you on the verge of getting a three-peat with fraudulent voting? Or were your first two victories legit? Oh, those were legit.
Those were
legitimate. All right, okay.
Those were legitimate.
Okay.
You know how this works. When it works out in my favor, I think everything is right with the universe and the way that things should be. And when it doesn't, there obviously was some nefarious actor at play. It's very clear.
It wasn't that you chose Bloody Mary. It wasn't that.
No.
It was that the system is working against you.
Yes, blood. I do not even regret that pick for one second. I know that people hate that, but there's a reason that if you walk into any sort of brunch or lunch or whatever, you're going to see one of those on, if not every table, every other table. I understand it's divisive.
But that's just it. That's just it, Travis. You picked a beverage that has a time limit on it. You said breakfast or brunch or lunch, right? Means that if it's 10 o'clock at night and your boy has a Bloody Mary in his hand, you're looking at him like, what the hell are you doing?
No, honestly, that's the problem with the Bloody Mary. He's had some sort of incident if that takes place. Like, you doing all right? Did you just get back from Australia? Are you on some sort of weird jet lag? Like, what's going on? Yeah, no, you can't have...
You imagine...
Like, what is it, like 1:30? Is that the cutoff point? I think that sounds about right.
I say about... That is about right. You know, certainly if... You don't go to the club and order a Bloody Mary.
No.
Now, for me...
Unless you're a maniac.
You know, unless you're a maniac. And see, you picked the maniac drink. And that's the reason why you lost. It's not rigged.
No, it's
you
rigged.
You yourself have now admitted that you picked the maniac drink. I'm just glad. Could I get my song one more time? Because
no,
going forward, I'm
going
to play it for myself.
You don't get it twice.
Why do you get
That's
to set
not
the
how
rules?
This works.
Hey! Woo!
Do you feel better? You got the losing of your two-game streak out of your way.
I do feel better. I'm not going to lie.
I'm glad.
I feel like LeBron James in the bubble. I feel good. I know things weren't always going all right, but I feel good overall.
I'm glad you feel better. It makes me feel better that you feel better, because really, at the end of the day, LZ, I'm a giver. I like to make sure that everybody else is feeling good about themselves. So I'm very happy. We were talking before we had our conversation with Ramona about getting to spend time with each other, all nonsense aside, it has been fantastic, and I've enjoyed every single minute of it. But we were kind of talking off the air too about, you know, when will we get to go back to a ball game or an event or whatever it is. One of the things that I will miss the most about doing the show with you and Key and Raj and Chris and Jorge and everybody else is getting to go do those remotes that we did every once in a while. Those were always fun, and you've heard me say this. I don't like doing those typically, right? How many times have you heard me pull you aside going, I don't really want to go do this tomorrow. I really don't want to go do this thing. A lot. And every single time we went and did one, I had a ball. I really did. And it was because you guys are really good in front of a crowd like that. I do not like crowds like that. I do not like being that guy in that moment. But they were always a ball. It was one of those things like Ramona was saying. Sometimes you need to go do something you don't like, you don't want to do because it's good for you. Those were really, really fun. I'm going to miss those. I hope we get to do something like that at some point again, because those were a ball.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, obviously we try to lift each other up, but it was really the crowd keeping us up for the full time. The number of times we saw familiar faces that just stay with us for the entire broadcast, we drew inspiration from that. That was absolutely awesome. And I have all the faith in Travis that we're going to have remotes again. We're going to be in stadiums again. We're going to be able to touch elbows. We might even have handshakes again. Imagine that, a world where you meet a stranger and you shake hands.
Hugs.
Nice to meet you. Right now, the world is being dominated by ugly people with bad teeth and pretty eyeballs. But once these masks comes off and we're able to fully see faces again and there's order in the world again, I have complete faith that this show will be reincarnated on a remote somewhere, somehow. We're all going to get the gang back together again, and Mason Ireland will be there, and everybody else will be there, and the listeners, most importantly, will be there. I have all the faith in the world that will happen.
You're a little different when it comes to this stuff, me, because you're quicker to adapt to things than I am. I still have that moment. You're talking about handshakes, right, where you see somebody you haven't seen for a while, or you get introduced to somebody for the first time, and typically, like you were saying, it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? You hold your hand out, you shake hands, and you keep it moving. Or if it's somebody that you have known for a while, maybe you do one of those bro hug, back slap, you know, bring it in kind of thing, give your buddy a little hug. Even though we're going on 5 months now, as hard as that is to believe, it's still that moment of, oh, hey, yeah, you don't know what to do, right? You don't know, like, do I stand my 6 feet away? Do I kind of wave at you? Like, what do you do in that moment? Because I still haven't executed the I don't know the new social distancing, hey, I haven't seen you for a long time thing. Is it a wave from across the room? What is it?
Well, I saw Greg, who's going to be our producer in the afternoon show, yesterday. And I barely made eye contact with him. So I'm still trying to adjust myself. I was afraid if I made eye contact, I might get the Rona from him. I was looking on the ground. I was looking away. I was like, oh, hey, 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 how you doing? Yeah, hey, hey, hey. Yeah, it's going to be weird, man. It is definitely going to be weird. But I welcome weird. I welcome weird in this time period right now. I want to be able to feel fully human and engaged again. I want to be forced to take a shower and wear a different pair of sweatpants again. I want to be able to man, I've been doing some real raggedy ass stuff, Travis. I'm not even going to lie. Where I walk by a mirror and be like, dog, has it been 3 days in this t-shirt?
Oh, what difference does it make? Oh. That's the problem. What difference does it make? And the answer is none. Much like the Lakers are locked in to their number one seed, and it doesn't really matter if they play well or not. It really doesn't matter if you've had those sweatpants on for a few days, because who gives a damn? No one's going to see
who gives a damn, man? Who gives a damn? It's so crazy. I want to live in a world where somebody shames me for wearing the same t-shirt 3 days in a row. That's the kind of America I want.
You like wine. I like wine. But CJ McCollum, he really likes wine. I'll explain next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN. All right, LZ, you like wine, like wine. But the question is, do you like wine this much? Because CJ McCollum is one of a group of NBA players that are really big wine drinkers. I believe the term is onophile, somebody that's a big wine guy. He's keeping his room like a giant walk-in wine fridge. He's keeping it in the mid to high 50s when he's not in there, and he'll warm it up a little bit. He'll keep it around 60 degrees when he goes in there to watch TV or take a nap or go to bed or whatever it is. But you are all in if you're willing to live inside of a 50-degree room for God knows how long because you don't want your wine to turn.
That's a bit aggressive. It just feels like you could call up Amazon and have Amazon deliver yourself a series of coolers and you'll be okay. You don't have to turn your hotel room into a wine cooler. That just feels like a little extra to me. To me. It just feels like... I'm not going to judge another man's... Go ahead.
If that feels a little extra, what about bringing 84 bottles of wine with you? Because reportedly, that's how many he has in there. That not only does he keep his room as a giant wine fridge, but he has stocked it accordingly. He himself has 84 bottles of wine in his room.
Yeah, that's not the bad part. The bad part is a lot of it's from Oregon. What the hell? What the hell? Oregon? I know you play in Portland, dog, and I know you're trying to support the cause, but I don't want to hear about your collection of Oregon Pinot Grigio.
Okay. Ooh, wait, hold up. Okay, now, hold on. Oregon makes some fantastic Pinot Noir, really some of the best that there is. So if that's how he's rolling, I get it. Now, I do not have the wine palate of this guy or LeBron or Chris Paul or Carmelo or any of these guys that are dropping NBA megastar money on their wine. I'm not rolling like that, but a nice Willamette Valley Pinot Noir from Oregon. I'll hang with CJ. I'll go do that with him.
They have good Pinot Noir?
Yes, very good.
I don't mess with, you know what's so funny? Like I like you, I'm a wine drinker, but there's just certain countries and certain states I just don't mess with. Like they grow wine in Arizona. And I don't eat sushi from Arizona, and I damn sure ain't drinking your wine. Like,
That's fair.
Certain things I'm not doing. So when I hear, you know, about wine from like Oregon, I'm like, California, yeah, I'm all over. Argentina, yeah, of course. Spain, Italy, I'm all over that. French, Bordeaux, hell yeah, all about that. But you tell me little weird states. Michigan, where I'm from, we grow lots of wine. You know, I've had like maybe three sips, and I've had relatives that try and convince me that the wine is good, and they'll pour me a glass. And you know, I'll do that thing where you kind of pretend like you're sipping, it touches your lip, but you actually don't drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm not drinking that move. I'm not drinking no damn Michigan wine, dog. I ain't doing that.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you will be very pleased if you try some Oregon Pinot Noir. That's the thing. Let me ask you this. If you had NBA star money, okay, you got maybe not LeBron, but you've got NBA all-star money.
Yep.
What are you getting into? What are you getting into that you're not into? Are you buying art? Are you getting into wine, cars? Like, what are you going to – because, you know, you're not going to go broke. What are you doing? Because a lot of these NBA guys have gone wine. And not just, like, lots of it, but really exclusive, hard-to-find stuff. And they kind of compete with one another, like, ooh, I got this one. What would you get into?
I don't know, Travis, because I am perpetually seeing myself – and I know it is not healthy, but it's just the way that I'm wired – I see myself as that poor kid from Detroit. And because of that, my husband and I, we both live very much underneath our means. Like, we just are big, live beneath your means kind of guys. And so you're asking me about making purchases that are, I don't want to say frivolous, but maybe extravagant. And I'm not an extravagant guy. I drive a damn Mini, Travis. Like, you know, and the car before that was a Jeep. So not really extravagant vehicles. Like, that's just not kind of how we're wired. I guess I'll buy more wine for sure. I mean, I do love Caymans. I love Silver Oak. I like Scotch. So maybe I will have a much deeper wine selection and different Scotch and whiskeys. Maybe I would do that. I would definitely have a better closet than what I have. We have a decent walk-in closet.
Okay.
Not clothes. I want to put a bar in my walk-in closet. I've always wanted that. I've seen those in movies and stuff and just thought that was always cool. You walk in, you pour yourself a little scotch, and then you figure out which tie you're going to wear. You know? Or because I'm in a quarantine, which pair of sweatpants I'm going to wear for the next week, you know, with a nice glass of scotch.
That's so good. I like that a lot. Travel. That's an easy one for me. I would go places because – one of the big reasons, and it's not the only reason, but one of the things is to go do something really exotic on a trip. It's expensive, man. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
And much like yourself, I've done okay, and I've done pretty well saving my money and all these kind of things. So, but that I always worry about what's coming next. I always worry about, yeah, but what if this happens? So I'm a little cautious. I would love to just say, yeah, we're going to go take that trip and we're going to spend a month in Greece. We're going to go take the trip and we're going to spend a month in Mallorca, like stuff like that. I would like to go see parts of the world that and not just I'd like to see a little bit of everything, but the really fancy parts that you really got to be a heavy hitter to go to, that would be at the top of my list.
No, I definitely hear you with that. I mean, I would love to spend a month in one country.
Yeah.
You know, I've done vacations where I've been gone for like a few weeks, but they've been cobbled together with other locations. And so you're on vacation, but you're still on a schedule. I'm going to go to Spain. And when they say siesta, I want to sleep like a mug and get it like drool. And just like, just get it in.
Sleep.
And not feel.
Sleep.
Sleep. Exactly. But when you're on vacation, you feel like you should be doing something, right? Like you can't because you're only here for a week. And I don't want to sleep in the middle of the day every day of this week that I'm here. I want to be doing something. I want to be able to actually sleep. Get some prosciutto. Get a nice Rioja, maybe, you know, and just some olives and just chill the hell out. Yeah, I'll do that. I'm down with that.
That would be at the top of my list.
But and in the meantime, I'm going to be doing Palm Springs, and I'll be fantasizing that it's a siesta.
That's it. Yeah, the vacations have always been, well, how about we shoot up to Santa Barbara for a couple of days, which is great. I love Santa Barbara. How about we go to San Diego for the weekend? That's also really, really nice. That's not Santorini or Mallorca. That's a whole different game over there. I should have worked on my jumper. I should have worked on my jumper or my slider or something because I don't think this is going to end with that. That doesn't seem like the path to.
Don't
to,
give to up, baby. Don't give up.
Don't give up. No, I'm not giving up. I'm going to show up on Monday. I'm ready to go all over again. All right, LZ, our final segment together here on the morning show, at least, is coming up next. Coming in with a little bit of the sad music? Jorge, come on, man. I mean, it's a little sentimental.
No, it's changing.
There we go.
It's
that's changes. Better.
It's
better.
There you go. It's sentimental. It's fine. You know, it's all good. Is Raj still on, or did Raj already bail because it's Friday and he's got stuff to do?
He's going on vacation too.
He just answered that silence was
the answer to that question. So yeah, he's probably on the airport or wherever it is that he's headed to. So, you know, obviously we've been talking about it a little bit through the course of the day, LZ, but it has been a real pleasure. And like I mentioned, I think yesterday or the day before, I didn't know you other than I see you on TV occasionally. I would read what you wrote. I had no idea what your deal was other than you and I worked at the same place and I saw your picture on the wall. It's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed not just getting to do the show with you because, it's become more than just doing a radio show with a couple of other guys that you got thrown together with. That is what it is. But it's been a pleasure to get to know you a little bit. It's a pleasure to get to call you a buddy of mine. And I'm really happy that you keep characterizing this as this is just the most recent change that this stuff happens in our business. Guys get moved around. But I really deeply enjoyed the last couple of years of doing this show, but the last couple of years of getting to know you as a guy, because I think you're a pretty good guy, and I'd like calling you a friend of mine.
Thanks, Travis, brother. I really do appreciate it. You know, a lot of people don't know my deal, because I do. I'll admit, I got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I got the hair.
You do.
You know.
You do.
I'm in sports, but I'm also in politics. You know, it's like, I'm gay, but I'm not what a lot of people who love sports have stereotypical images of what it means to be a gay male. I don't fit in that, and so I confuse a lot of people. Keyshawn thought I was faking it for the first 2 years of the show, you know, and it's like, dude, there's a husband here with me.
Faking which part? The gay part?
Faking the gay part. The gay part. And I'm
I don't think you're faking it. I believed you.
You believe me. I was like, it's not really one of those things that people fake, you know? It's kind of one of those things that, you know, you kind of own up to. You don't really fake it. But, yeah, for 2 years, that used to be his running joke. You're like, I'm watching you. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're watching me. I have a husband. He's right there.
You're playing the long game.
It's commitment, dog. If this is a bit, I'm committed. I am committed. But I get it, you know. But the truth of the matter is that as serious as I am, I'm just as silly. As interested as I am in politics, I'm just as passionate about sports. And I'm glad you, as well as, you know, everybody else that I've worked with on the show, and obviously the listeners, you know, they were into my kind of crazy. You know, I got a tweet request. They wanted to hear one more Mysterio. And
why not?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know if I want to dust up. Oh, hell. Here's the music.
Go for it.
I might as well one last time.
What the people want, LZ. What the people want.
And my friend, I'm used to giving people what they want. Them fulfill.
This was a bad idea.
Damn it, Travis, you can't make me laugh. I'm trying to be seductive here.
All right, start over.
Listeners of the morning show. This is take two. Here we go.
All right.
Listeners of the morning show. Thank you for walking into my dungeon of pleasure. Giving us 4 hours of your earlobes, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. This is your friend Mysterio. I don't know if this is forever gone, but this is goodbye for right now. Thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. I visualize you. I can reach out in my mind's eye and touch you ever so gently. On your shoulder. Get your head out of the gutter. On your shoulder, damn it. On your shoulder. Eyes up, people. Eyes up. Nah, man, it's been fun, man. It's been fun being crazy and silly. And we're going to be crazy and silly in the afternoons. And you're still going to be getting your ass up early in the morning. So I'm not sure if you're going or not, Travis. What happened?
I got to be honest. And Ramona kind of hammered it home where she said to you, you know, oh, at least you don't have to get up in the morning. And I'm sitting here with that look on my face like, well, yeah, he doesn't. I am still going to be on in the morning. I'm going to be a part of Key's new show, a little bit of a different role to be sure, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good. I'm glad that I still get to be Keyshawn adjacent, for lack of a better term. I'm going to be a part of Mike Greenberg's new show that we're going to be carrying as well. So that's all good. Like we said, you've been in this a long time. George said it yesterday when we were doing crosstalk that if you know anything about this, this stuff changes pretty regularly, and this is the most recent change. So it'll be good. We're going to be here on Monday morning, too. So just so everybody understands that, when I say we, I say I'm going to be here. Jorge's going to be here. DeMarco is going to be filling in on the other side as well. So I would imagine that next week is a ton of NFL football, Rams football in particular. And, of course, we'll have all the Laker reaction. We'll have all the Dodger reaction. So we're still going to have a morning show next week. It's just, LZ, you're going to be drunk in the pool in Palm Springs.
See?
Drunk or high or both?
Both is dangerous. I'm just throwing that out there.
Be all the way up.
Well, I live on the edge, baby. I live on the edge. No, it's gonna be fun. And the morning show is going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Key does on the national level. Obviously, all the listeners here are very used to him talking about LA sports, but Key is so deep in the weeds in the NFL and college football that he is going to bring a great deal of wealth of information to a national audience. And I think the most important thing too, Travis, when it comes to Key in particular, he's an LA guy. Even though it's a national show, unlike other national shows, he's not going to ignore the West Coast. He's not going to ignore the Pac-12. He's not going to ignore us. So that's another good thing of having him on a national show.
It's a great point, because so often when you go do network stuff, no matter where you're from, you kind of gravitate to the East Coast. So it's just the way that it kind of goes. Key's going to bring the LA with him. You know what I mean? Key is an LA guy, like you said, and whether he was a Jet or a Cowboy or a Tampa Bay Buck or whatever, he was an LA guy. He's an SC guy. He's an LA guy. So I'm not worried about that at all. What I am worried about is whether or not I'm going to be looking for a ledge come Monday morning with the Lakers and the Dodgers. I don't think that there's a ledge. There's not a ledge coming with the Dodgers, even if it went super haywire this weekend. That's not happening. With the Lakers, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to call you, because calling people feels very intrusive. But I may shoot you a text and say, you need to talk me off this ledge at some point if it goes bad for the Lakers on the weekend.
You won't have to text me, Scott. I'll be next to you on that ledge. So you don't have to worry about it. We can try and convince each other to come off the ledge. But I have faith that the shooting's going to come back. I have faith that the shot's going to get knocked down. But more importantly, I honestly believe we have the best player on the planet still in LeBron James. We have a top five player in AD. We have a great coaching staff. We have a great organization. And LA is going to be represented very well in the NBA postseason, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers. Obviously, I'm a Laker fan. I prefer the Lakers. But I just think that we're in a prime position, not just for this season, this weird, odd bubble season, but like for many years to come. Basketball is back, baby. The NBA is back. The Dodgers are rolling. The Rams are going to prove people wrong. The Chargers are going to win. I'm all in on the Sparks. I'm excited, man. I'm excited, and I'm thrilled to be partnering up with George Sedano to be able to talk about all of this, including the Olympics and the World Cup and all these other fantastic events that are going to pass through the city over the next few years as well.
Yeah, you said something going through that just really struck me, that we've got LeBron and no, not that at all. That'll never happen. About LeBron and that we'll be okay. We have LeBron. People have probably been saying that to him since he's 10 years old. You imagine the pressure that comes along with everybody that has a problem says, oh, don't worry, LeBron will fix it. That he's carried that with him for his entire life. Like, LeBron will figure it out. And he's handled it beautifully. All right, LZ, it's been a pleasure. I'll be listening to you in the afternoon. For the rest of you, we'll see you here Monday morning, 6 o'clock on the morning show, 710 ESPN.